Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this episode of the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I have Suvi Lindfors together with me. Hi, Suvi. How are you?
Hi, Craig. I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Super thrilled to kick off this discussion about voice of the customer, AI, and spreading all this information we are getting out of voice of the customer, voice of the employee throughout the company, that everybody can profit on that. But before we deep dive in this discussion, we would like to learn more about you. And therefore, Suvi, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Suvi. I have more than 20 years of experience in working customer experience. I was working there before CX as a term or abbreviation existed. I worked as a consultant first to build the customer-oriented processes. So that I moved to a huge, I would say, European telco, Telia, where I was setting up customer experience measurement system for the whole group, trying to make certain that the, for example, call answering time is measured in the same way in Finland and Denmark and Sweden. As an example, after that, I moved to be an insight professional at Nokia. A lot of data, a lot of behavioral data as well, but a lot of work to analyze it. And then after some years, Microsoft acquired the Nokia, the mobile phone business. Then I became part of Microsoft as well and was doing basically the work of an insight professional within a little bit bigger environment. And that, I guess, it's where I truly noticed how much pain point these big organizations have in analyzing data, creating the reports, trying to find novel insights every month in their reports, sharing things, and also then making sure that people actually make decisions based on the customer insights. And that's basically 7 years back, we established with a couple of colleagues Lumoa. And Lumoa is a SaaS platform, which is empowering every employee to make right decisions. And here I am now, still preaching the same thing about empowering every employee to make right decisions.
Thank you very much. I am keen to ask the next question, but then based on what you said, I already know the first part of this of the answer, because it will be consistency if after 7 years you are still preaching that.
Yeah.
Suvi, which values drive you in life?
I would say that it actually is very much linked to the kind of the mission of our company. But the first thing is that decisions guide you forward. So if you don't make a decision, you go nowhere. And it ultimately doesn't even matter if it's a right or wrong decision. If it's a right one, you will notice it. If it's a wrong one, you will notice it and you can fix it and make another decision. So that's the first one. Second one is people first, content second. So I truly believe in the fact that people are the ones making decisions. People are the ones who are influencing the world. And the content doesn't always need to be 100% correct, as long as people are aligned and they are working towards the same goals. And the third one is around inclusivity. So maybe it's because I've been raised. Thank you for my mom and dad. But I've been raised in a way that all people are equal, regardless of their background. So it's very difficult for me to put people on a different line. So I truly want everybody to be kind of feeling the same and be treated the same way.
Thank you, Suvi. And I can confirm that because we are in contact since roughly 4 years. It was one or two times a year we had a chat, and it was great to see also the growth of Lumoa and how you are doing, working, and preaching for the right things in business. And therefore, super keen to kick off the discussion. Let's start with the why question. Why is it crucial for all employees, not only customer facing, to have access to voice of the customer?
Yeah, maybe to clarify in the beginning, what does the voice of the customer mean? And basically, for me, the voice of the customer means it is survey results. Yes, definitely. But it can also be public reviews. It can be feedback from the website. It can be call recordings. It could even be social media things. It can be tickets, emails, and so on. So that is all the voice of customer. When you think the voice of customer as such a wide concept, you start understanding how much data there is in each and every. You don't need to have a huge company to have a lot of data, but you will have a lot of data. So why it's very important to consider like the voice of the customer is that how I've seen it, again, like for multiple years, is that surveys, they are becoming more and more commodity. I'm still surprised how many companies are continuing after, I don't know how many years, to add more and more measurement points and more surveys. At the same time, when the consumers are getting more and more surveys, it means that the consumers are getting lazier in answering them. And especially the younger generation, well, they don't too much maybe care about the surveys at all. And typically, when you have a survey, it's a one specific point of contact, and it's measuring one single point in the customer journey. So I truly believe in the fact that companies, almost in any size, they have a lot of voice of customer in their systems. And whatever business question they have, most often they already have existing data in their systems, at least to start figuring out what's going on. Maybe they don't get an ultimate answer for the response, but they have a lot of it. And maybe the kind of the last angle there is that especially in those companies who are really struggling to get have a very, very low response rates. So it can, I would say, telcos, some like utilities, I call them now commodity. They might not like it, but those that you have, everybody has a phone scrubs, your subscription, you might still get the survey when you call a call center and you truly don't care about the survey. And also the B2B companies where value of an individual customer is huge, but then you're trying to approach them with a survey and then they don't answer and you're like, why? So I think especially those companies who are struggling a lot with the survey response rate, they truly need to go out. And not even out from the company, but go outside their own offices and start seeing that what are the other sources that we already have available in the company.
Thank you. I think this is, you are touching a lot of important topics, and not only focusing on, let's say, one transactions, having an holistic view on the different feedbacks that we are having. Perhaps also to understand, a lot of companies are getting a lot of feedback and they are storing it somewhere and they are not using it. And how does access to voice of the customer data influence decision making and innovation in the various departments?
Yeah, so I think it kind of the when you have access. So I would say that think about the typical organization where there's a CX team or insight team, and that's the team that typically has an access to voice of customer. So if you have a regular employee question about the voice of customer, you have two options. You just need to invent or kind of think about yourself, like what the customers are thinking when you're making a lot of assumptions and working on a gut feeling. Or the other option is go to the CX and insight team and ask the question. And maybe you get an answer that, yeah, and I might be able to do it in 2 weeks, or this is not really in my scope. So the first thing is that if you think about that, each and every employee is making very small decisions every day that are working either against the customer or on behalf of the customer. When there is access to voice of customer across all the employees, first of all, it makes everybody wants to make decisions that are aligned with the customer's wishes. So I think that's my assumption, that not anybody wants to be against the customers, but since they don't have the easy access to the data whenever they are making a decision, it means that they are doing decisions based on the gut feeling because the decision needs to be done today or this week. So the access enables better decisions, faster decisions, and it also allows decisions which people stick to. Because when you have a data and you make decision based on the data, it will not go so that the next day or the next week or next month, somebody is saying that, hey, maybe it's actually this way. But you know that you made this decision based on the data. So that one is correct. Maybe the decision then and how you interpreted the data wasn't correct. But anyway, the data is correct. And obviously, internal benchmarking is a great thing for bigger organizations. So if you have access to data, you can see how my team is doing, customer care team is doing against the other one, or how is this product doing against, and what are the differences, or how is this country doing against another one. So internal benchmarking can provide an additional incentive to actually do it better.
I really like that. And for me, I also think that it's extremely important to make decisions objective, because often and the decisions are taken by the people with they are the loudest or they are screaming around, and then you need to quickly take decisions. And if you have the data, you can objectively take some decision based on the data. And the more people have access to the data, the more people will also understand that. And I think this is also extremely important to ensure that people have access, see the data, and then they can take all together objective data. Yeah. However, I know that there are some challenges making all this data available to the employees. And I know that Lumoa is doing a great job in this field. How does Lumoa address this issue?
Yeah, maybe I go first through the challenges, that what are the challenges and then how Lumoa addresses. So one thing that I maybe come across not so often, which is good, but in some companies it's still there, that it's my data, my access. So it's a lot of silos. So I did this survey, these results belong to me. And then I'm like, it's your company that you are working for. It's the company collecting the information. It should be the company using it. So one is this kind of mindset of my or protectionism against the data, that the data is power. The second one is that there can be also culturally in a company, I would say trust issues in this case. So should really those product people have access? Should the marketing people have access to data? How will they use it? Will they be making wrong decisions? And what's going to be the catastrophic outcome? Because they are not really an inside professional. And I see that my practical example comes from Nokia versus Microsoft, where Nokia had a specific type of culture, which was really promoting the openness and empower everybody and transparency, whereas the Microsoft side, it's more like this like a little bit kind of fear against that, will people do the wrong things? Can I trust them? And I would say that trust them, I think it's my value. So if you do a decision, it's better to do a decision than not to do a decision. And it's better to do it based on the data than not based on the data, because those decisions will be made. The third challenge is the privacy. So because it's a big GDPR thing, so there's a lot of also misconceptions sometimes about what can be do, what cannot be done. And that can lead to kind of wrong interpretation. We cannot use customer feedback. We cannot share it. We cannot do this and that. And then it's also about the access level. So, and what kind of access to provide different people the data. So if you have as a one of the background variable in the data, the customer care agent name, should that be visible to everybody? How about if customer is mentioning their own name in the feedback? Should that be visible to everybody? So there is also this type of that you are not allowed to see. So the information widely, and many times also the access costs. So there is, one more license, one more invoice. And obviously, it doesn't really promote the empowering every employee. And how we do it in Lumoa is basically we bring all the different voice of customer sources together. We really focus on the ease of use and the actionability of the results. So it's not an analyst platform. It's a platform for all the employees. We have nurses, for example, using it in a one-brick healthcare provider. We also anonymize the results, so we have scripts to go to kind of remove names, number strings, emails, addresses even from the results. So it kind of provides this trust that I can actually share it. Because if it wouldn't be anonymized, you wouldn't be able to share it. And then it's like what we truly believe in is that no additional invoices when you have more seats. So we always have unlimited number of licenses. So you can have one user or 1,000 users, and the cost of the platform is the same.
Thank you very much. And I think this is really key to make it accessible for everybody. However, you mentioned also this topic around the cost. One additional license costs more. I know that the different providers offer different solutions. However, at the end, it's always important to also prove what does it bring to the company, giving access to all the employees. And how can companies measure the impact of voice of the customer access?
On high level, the access, it empowers the employees by providing them access to the data that they need to perform their job. And when they kind of employees feel empowered, they are more likely to be engaged and committed to their work. So I think this is like a little bit a softer thing, but people first, as I mentioned. But it's I think the one key ingredient is that do you have everything in place to perform in your job? And I think this is a one element in being able to perform in the job. So it should be visible in the employee experience. And it's also good to remember that the pure access, it's not enough if the tool is complex or if you don't know how to find it in it. But I think we have a couple of customer references also where I really, really kind of love the way they're describing how granting access has actually transformed the role of the Insight organization and CX organization by moving them from a reporting engine, as one of our customers is saying, to be more like a more strategic unit in the company, being really to drive those CX improvement initiatives instead of just being the place where you get one email a month and here is the report, which you then don't ever have time to read.
No, that's, I think what you're saying, it's key in a completely other setup. We were facing also this issue in a company I worked for. The new head of controlling came and he stopped sending out all these reports that were sent for years. And then he said, okay, I will send it as soon as somebody complained. And at the end, he sent out 40% of the reports, 60% of the reports were not required. And that's exactly what you are saying. It's really to share the important information, important data that are used and leveraged. And perhaps also looking into the future, what future trends do you see in voice of the customer accessibility and how can company prepare for that?
I think here I come back to the survey response rate. So I saw once, not too many months ago, I saw kind of, I was taking a results of NPS for a bank. And basically what I noticed from the data that most of the people who responded to the survey were, let's say, above the average age of a human being. So then NPS is great. Management is following the NPS result, but be really careful about that you know who is actually answering your NPS surveys, what kind of or to which customer segment you can actually draw conclusions from the data. And as soon as you know this, that you're not getting a representative kind of sample from the NPS responses, or you don't have the younger generation at all in the responses, make sure that you hear their voice from some other places. So I would say that check it, who is actually responding, who is interacting with you, and make sure that you get the voice of the others as well.
Thank you. And now it's time to ask about your secrets. What's the one thing that companies can do to promote access to everyone?
Yeah, I think I really believe in the power of, I would say, mistakes or failures. So I think it will be for any organization to be very easy to find an example where lack of access has caused the wrong decision. It can be that something around some misinterpretation of things. It can be become a product, the most expensive are the ones that, okay, we didn't actually know that our customers are doing this. So find out the mistake, even maybe a couple, even smaller are fine, and then kind of use those as an example and then put on the other side of what if, what would have happened if we would have had information easily available at the time when the decision was made.
Thank you very much. We are coming to an end of this discussion of this game, but we still have three minutes in the extra time for the last three questions. In 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Good question. Yeah, I think I don't know if this is true, but based on kind of how the technology has been moving forward over the last year, we might be discussing about the complex technology that makes customers faceless numbers and difficult to understand. So maybe we have forgotten that there are human beings actually behind.
I hope not, but let's see what will happen in future. And what's the best way to contact you?
Yeah, the best way to contact me is LinkedIn. So you will easily find my LinkedIn profile. And then just reach out to me, connect with me, or reach out to me with a LinkedIn message.
And to the audience, you will find all the information also in the show notes. And now we are coming to Suvi's golden nuggets. It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
Yes. So my golden nugget is that strive to understand the customer's pain. And I say pain. Don't listen too much about how customers are suggesting you to solve them, because they don't know your business, they don't know your systems, they don't know the environment. They might sometimes have good tips that open up your mind, but if you only listen to the suggestions of improvement suggestions from your customers, you might not be solving their pain actually. So dig deeper into the pain. And pain is when you see that they kind of get emotional about it, that this is really hurting me because I cannot do this one. It makes me want to do something.
Thank you very much, Suvi. It was a great opportunity to discuss with you. And thank you very much for sharing your know-how and your passion about Voice of the Customer on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Craig, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And to the audience, as you know, we love feedback. Please feel free to contact me or to contact Suvi. You will find all the links in the show notes. Let us know what you think about this episode. Thank you very much and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.